How you guys doing? Welcome to the Rob and Todd Show. Over here is Rob, and this is our show. I'm in the valley with my SAGs. When the trunk pop, partner, it's a bop fest. From 22s to 24s, I'm a work in progress. I'm covered in BBS in my mouth and chest. Looking dope, boy, fresh. I was taught by the best. I'm out that pimp squad, but I all praise to God. I put the mic down. And pass it off to Robinson. They say, man, that boy go hard. Urban City got the clothes. Lavola got the flows. Kylie sipping foes. Marky G got the dro, Lil' Ken got the hoes, so I'm taking my pick. Paparazzi followed me, trying to take my pick. I know I make you sick when you see me ball. You ain't never gonna see me foul as power.
Trump this afternoon signed an executive order to reclassify marijuana.
It's Schedule 3, I think, is what they're reclassifying as. So it's like, same thing as like Tylenol.
Tylenol is the best thing that ever happened to me. It saved my life.
Same thing as like ketamine. It's like for medical use.
Well, it still requires a prescription.
Yeah, yeah. He's embracing the medicinal side over more or less the recreational side.
They did polls if it should be reclassified, and they averaged 82% yes.
Well, yeah. The whole prohibition of pot was dumb to begin with. I mean, generations have forgotten why it's even illegal in the first place.
So as far as dosing and studied effects, he was basically saying they only have enough information specifically on CBD at this current time, and that would be what's available for script in theory second quarter of next year. So April 1st. Ha, gotcha. April Fools. But no.
Gotcha. The ultimate prank.
The ultimate April Fools joke.
Executive April Fools action.
And then Trump goes on to say that, you know, this will open the door on research for like the rest of what marijuana is.
If he schedules it to a to a reclassification of Schedule 3, then yeah, that's what that is. Imagine if we didn't make it such an illegal substance that we could be so far along in research or whatever. I mean, look at the almighty country we protect no matter what, Israel. They are light years ahead of us in marijuana research. It's actually part of their culture there and their healthcare.
So my question was, if it's an executive order, is it permanent?
No.
See,
and he's ruling like a king. Notice I said ruling because he's not taking votes. He's not trying to appeal to any constituency. He's just doing it with a signature.
This is an AI overview. The recent reclassification of marijuana by executive order is not a permanent final change on its own. It initiates a formal administrative process that is still underway and can be challenged. A permanent change requires the completion of the formal rulemaking process by the Drug Enforcement Administration under the Controlled Substances Act.
So did it really even mean anything, or is it something that he's clinging on to after his economic message the other night wasn't well received for the sake of the midterms next year? He'll definitely bring it up come the midterms. That's for certain. I reclassified marijuana. What else do you want from me?
So the order to reclassify it, there's a little bit of gray area of will that classification be permanent? I think it may be because he's kind of ordering those agencies to do that, but true permanent full legalization, descheduling, so it's not on a schedule at all, would require an act of Congress as the current process only changes the schedule.
That's the process, but it sounds like that play on words, an act of Congress. So in other words, that'll never probably happen within your lifetime.
Yeah, so it changes the schedule, not the fundamental federal illegality of cannabis under the CSA.
I feel like it's just more political theater.
It's kind of crap. CBD is already legal, but now you can get it at your pharmacy via doctor script.
And does that really matter? Is there really a need for that to begin with?
Doesn't change much, it looks like. Do you want to jump straight to the Reiner news or cover that airplane crash news?
Airplane crash news. We'll save Reiner. We'll save that for last.
I was watching I'm not really sure what I was watching, but they broke in and they're like, airplane crashed in Statesville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
We can confirm there were fatalities.
Ooh.
There were six people on the plane or jet. It was a business jet, they called it.
Like a private jet with business people?
Whatever.
Quiet on the set.
Hammy's coming in from a smoke break.
He's really baked. He's baked Hammy. Honey baked Hammy.
It really threw me off.
Hold on. We were talking about the plane crash in North Carolina.
Said, oh, yeah, a business jet.
Business jet. So, like, with business people, this sounds like a business expense?
Or I think it indicates the size of the jet. But anyway, the announcer went on to say that we're not releasing names. No names of anyone that's died, but we can confirm fatalities. However, this is an airport that mainly NASCAR drivers use, or NASCAR-related flights come into, as well as Fortune 500 companies.
That's weird. I thought NASCAR was just cars.
So was she buttering us up for, like, the NASCAR driver that it wound up being? Maybe.
Who was the NASCAR driver that fatal-ed?
Greg Biffle.
Oh.
Gregory Jack Biffle.
Oh, man, that's even more specific. What was his main sponsor?
3M.
Oh, I thought it was Corn Flakes. Who am I thinking of?
Also his daughter and his wife. I don't know if that's the entirety of his family. And I wonder about the three other people that were on the plane, because if those three died...
Well, surely he had a mom and dad. It's not his whole family.
The pilot and the two ride-alongs probably went. Hammy, do you know?
I absolutely do.
Hold on here. Ham water, ladies and gentlemen. We need to insert applause in post.
Well, you're going to have to get rid... Okay, hold on. Let me adjust the mic here.
He's got a huge jacket. Hold on. That's,
okay.
This jacket
hold on. Let that shake out.
Getting claustrophobic with the jacket.
Should be good to go. Now, I was saying, do you know who else died other than those three?
Everyone on the plane, yes. It was the pilot, his
friend that was learning how to fly.
No, actually, they were flying. I'll get into this in a second, but no, his bus driver, the one who drives his not a bus, but you know,
okay,
very useful on a flight.
And his wife and two kids, that's who were on the plane.
But there were six people.
Let's see. There was the pilot, the bus driver, and the wife and two kids. Yeah, that's four.
And one mysterious. No, that's five.
Five.
Well, oh, wife and two kids. He said two kids.
Yeah, there's two kids.
Two kids. And the one she didn't know she even had.
No, it was an older kid.
Oh.
The daughter was an older kid from a prior marriage.
Oh.
Not that that really matters.
For the driver or her?
For her.
Oh.
Before major.
Well, no, his.
Oh.
Well, yeah, the driver. Yeah.
Okay, that's not confusing.
This is completely clear at this point.
Yeah. Crystal.
Before major news outlets announced who was involved, what's his name? It's Cletus McFarlane. What's
right.
his name?
Garrett Mitchell is his real name.
Garrett Mitchell announced, he can confirm it was Greg Biffle, who, because he was coming to see me. Like, we were going to hang out and probably shoot some social media content.
You better watch out, because death could be after him, too. This could be like a Final Destination scenario.
Well, it is weird, because I guess they just held the 24 hours of...
Les Mullets,
which is a play on Le Mans.
Uh-huh.
So Garrett Mitchell owns a racetrack, first of all.
Do
you have to have a mullet to compete?
No.
Okay.
He saw his friend flip the vehicle in front of him, and, like, it smashed in big time on the roof. Like, the cage did not hold, and he figured that he died, or was at least seriously, seriously injured, and he posted about that yesterday.
Right.
Which his friend was fine,
yeah.
Or let's say fine.
Well, he's going to be okay, yes.
But that's quite an ordeal.
Yeah, and he kind of posted about dodging death there, and then today he broke the news with Biffle.
Who am I thinking of? Who was the cornflake driver?
That was Terry Labonte, at least one of them. There were several.
But Terry Labonte's or cornflake drivers?
Yeah, Terry Labonte. Or, I mean... Well, yeah, probably.
Let's don't get this confused. Was there a Frosted Flakes driver?
Yes.
That's Tony the Tiger.
No, that was Terry, right.
Well, then who was the Corn Flakes?
Yeah, I think the same company, right?
Oh,
same.
Different paint job, different
yeah,
race.
Right,
oh,
right.
Oh, oh,
same sponsorship.
Oh, they're just doing another... Well, hell.
Where are we? What the hell? What the hell is going on?
Netflix, they got nothing on Frosted. Shit, why don't they go like with Cheerios?
But also Kyle Busch, I believe, was one at one time.
I remember him from Mountain Dew. Wasn't he Mountain Dew?
I don't know. If he, no, he was sponsored by NOS Energy Drink.
While we're on NASCAR, just if people are interested in NASCAR, Michael Jordan owns the NASCAR team.
That's
I think correct. He's in cahoots with, is it Denny Hamlin?
Denny Hamlin.
Okay, but there was a lawsuit between their race team, and it's something 23X or...
2311, but 23XI or whatever.
I got you. Yeah. 23 Michael Jordan. But anyway...
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Thanks, Mike.
They wanted to retain complete autonomous, is that it?
Autonomy.
Ownership.
Of their, so there's a charter system in NASCAR, okay? And if you get a charter, that means you're guaranteed a spot in the race. Well, okay, cool. And there's extra money bonuses involved in it too. But anyway, the charters were not evergreen, so are permanent.
Were not evergreen. Yeah, they wanted permanent charters because they put a lot of money behind their race team. You still have to qualify to get that charter or something, though.
Yeah, like, there is. I don't know all the specifics, but yeah, there are things you have to.
In other words, they wanted to pay to play, simply.
Well, okay. NASCAR wanted to pick and choose.
So they were originally given to the teams, like, for free, just as long as they signed the charter agreement that blah, 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 whatever it happened to contain.
Yeah.
So
mostly blahs and a signature line.
They became somewhat, like, you could sell them for $20 million, $10 yeah. million, $5 million, whatever. But then it really went up. Now they're like $40 million each.
I could do that.
And, but making them permanent, that pushes them into a whole new stratosphere.
Like,
that
like
makes them...
Elon Musk level?
Instead of annual or...
Well, yeah. Instead of, well, whatever it happened
whatever the term was.
Yeah. But, no, it makes them like Major League Baseball teams or NBA teams, NFL, whatever. The team, like...
You'll always compete.
That charter is a franchise. Yes, it could be sold and renamed,
right.
But you're going to need an existing charter.
That's right. And that it gives you, like I said, the guaranteed starting spot. Doesn't matter how bad or, I mean, there are some competition rules there, but.
I'm going to say that Jordan won the case, but it was settled outside of court.
That's
but
right.
The settlement mostly fell in his direction. He had some sort of dirt. They didn't want going to court. It was some sort of... I just don't have the article in front of me. It saved NASCAR from some of the things that were going to go to court.
Oh, there was a lot of shit that came out already that was salacious.
What's that?
Well, it's like calling...
Hold on. Just look it up independently.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Oh.
Or if you have a really hot one, then go ahead and say it. Because update on the Reiner.
The real Reiner family and the tragedy. The travesty. I guess those are kind of, either one.
You combine them, but yes, they work. It works as a combination, even.
I think Rob would enjoy that. I'm going to keep saying that to keep this tasteful.
Romy Reiner.
His daughter.
His daughter. The reason she went to the home was to check on her parents. Because a massage therapist who had an appointment to be there couldn't get in.
Okay.
They weren't buzzing her in
yeah.
or like past the gate or whatever.
Right.
So the massage therapist contacted her, said, I don't know
hey,
what's going on. I can't get
parents?
In.
Yeah.
So she goes over to check. And
what does she find?
All the checking she did was that she discovered her dad's body and fled. Well, she was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
She ran away.
Just like saw blood.
She didn't know that the about her mother's death until the paramedics informed her later.
Wow.
She didn't want to be in an active crime scene
right.
and become part of that. Therefore, she fled.
And then the obvious trauma of finding a parent like that.
And then I've got an article here that goes on to say that Nick apparently was not at the property when his parents' bodies were discovered. He had fled as well after, of course, the killing. Now, how did they figure out it was him?
Security cameras?
That's probably.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine with the buzzing gate and the private security, that security cameras just come with a house like that generally.
Well, originally when they weren't saying who the killer was or
yeah.
who the alleged killer suspect, I figured it had to be an inside job because they talked about the security so much. Yeah. The news was saying, hey, they got crazy amounts of security here. I was like, okay, definitely an inside job.
We're going to go with that lead, Rob. Thanks very much. Detective Rob.
If someone really had it out for them, I'm sure they could have gotten past that those security measures, even if they like closely tailed a car in or something. But so for the most part.
I heard that they were stabbed. So what? What degree was the injury?
Still don't know. Don't know if it was a one stab per person or like a 20. Were they completely slashed up? What? Don't know. Was the knife left in the body? Did Romy Reiner see a knife sticking out of her dad and blood on the floor? Not really sure.
Are we going to have another update? Because there's still some loose ends here.
Only been 2 days.
Yeah, but
even after we posted, the charges were a little more clear. Yeah. They're now saying 2 counts of first degree murder. So no crime of passion.
Death penalty, or he could get the death penalty, couldn't he?
Not even just one, but 2 counts of first degree murder. Actually, I have another update.
I guess he passed that psych test.
Nick did appear in court, and he did not enter a plea. You have to?
I did find this
out. At some point, you have to.
I did find this out because a small detail caught my eye. I know that he hired a very good defense attorney, one has notoriety for getting notorious celebrities off on controversial cases, kind of like a Johnny Cochran of sorts.
Right.
Yeah, the detail that stuck out, coincidentally, Alan Jackson, attorney at law. I'm just thinking, obviously.
Because Alan, of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. Don't find my client guilty, you judge.
But no, that's an interesting point. Do you have to enter a plea?
I think this is what happened, just using logic. At that moment, clearly he did not have to, probably because the official hearing is like, hey, these are the charges we're presenting. Oh, first degree murder? I'll have to think about how I want to plea on that because in this short instant, I just don't know how I want to plead.
I get that.
That sounds like something.
Murder? That sounds serious.
I think Mr. Alan Jackson probably advised him in that you're not going to want to enter a plea. I know. I've been here 1,000 times. I know how these things work.
Way down yonder on the Stabahoochee.
Oh. Never knew how much that bloody water was related to me. But I learned how to kill and I learned who I was. A lot about killing.
And a little about blood. Gosh, that's terrible.
The song writes itself.
Does it though?
Yeah. I hear that if he can't retain Alan Jackson because of his high fees, he's going to go to John Michael Montgomery and then work his way on down. Maybe Joe Diffie.
What? I just wanted to say something about settling for a burger and a grape snow cone. No? Something else.
Joe Diffie's dead.
Oh, boy.
Okay, then maybe somebody
take
else.
Him off the God, list. Take him off the list.
Man, D-Boy is busy.
Is that
busy.
Who sang Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox? And did, when he dies? Or was that completely someone else?
I don't really remember that one, so I don't know.
Okay, I take
it
back.
It seems like it might have been.
I take back Joe Diffie. Can I have Patrick Duffy, though?
Joe Diffie at least reportedly died of COVID back when COVID was actually a thing.
Oh, wow. That sucks. Yeah. What about...
Skip all the song and dance and just go straight to Billy Ray Cyrus.
I don't think I want him. I don't think anyone really does. I don't even think his daughter wants him. Isn't he an alcoholic now?
He's got a lot of problems, okay. Clearly.
All right. Yeah, I saw a viral video not too long ago that was reminiscent of David Hasselhoff eating a burger on the ground. It's like he was doing something on stage that was just bizarre.
It's really no surprise. Miley Cyrus had a little bit of over-partying in her system.
Yeah,
but you got a rich dad,
and you're young,
who also has flexible morality.
Yeah.
Who?
But he's 50 something. It's like, come on, dude.
Is he 50? I guess he's not 60 yet.
I don't know. He could be. I'm just guessing. Anyway, back to Rob Reiner. That is.
We did get off track there for a second.
A second, just a brief moment. But so this seems like it's going to be like an OJ trial of sorts. You know, double homicide and a client that seems guilty of sin, but we'll see what transpires.
I feel like a lot of video evidence specifically exists, but we'll see.
Your Honor, perhaps you're not aware of the Chewbacca defense.
In this dad joke vein we've tapped into with the country music, the Honorable Judge Kane Brown, instead of Joe Brown, the TV
Okay.
Judge.
Yeah. Well, Deputy Brooks and Deputy Dunn, you know, of the court.
That's, I think, it. That's all I got for updates. That was a key update, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because I wasn't even sure. I was like, okay, if she found her parents stabbed and just called for a paramedic after really looking over the situation, she didn't really look it over. She was like, oh, shit, and ran, which is probably a smart thing to do.
I wonder if she was just hysterical when she called, and that's why the fire department got dispatched first. Maybe there was a confusion of what the hell was going on exactly. I don't know. I'm just trying to rationalize the fire.
Usually 911 can keep calls private, but they are a part of public record if a filing is done to get the tape. There's some sort of process you have to do you can force the release, but I'm sure with this initially they're not going to put that call out. It wouldn't really help anything.
Force the release. It's a good sequence of words.
Oh my gosh.
But so that's all you got?
I think that's it for today in general. When I hit stop here in a sec, if y'all have one more thing you want to cover, we will.
Well, I just don't know how they died. That's the biggest thing. It's just like with all these details that emerge, one detail is just gaping wide open here as far as no explanation.
I bet he stabbed him more than once, Todd. I don't think he just knifed him once and that did, I mean.
You think he did it like across.
A one slice kill.
You think he did like the whole typical.
The neck?
Into the
lung slash heart.
It's a crime of passion, and this is Hollywood, and this is something obviously it looks deliberate.
Tied them up and went with a diabetic finger prick
first. Why not in their sleep?
And ramped it up from there.
Well, why not in their sleep? Correct me if I'm wrong, but he could probably have killed his dad in his sleep. His mother probably would have been woken up by the, you know, jostling or the sound or something.
They're still not putting an official time of death, but they're saying the early morning hours.
So
and you got to think, O'Brien's Christmas party probably went pretty late.
Well,
I don't think any of them had really gone to sleep.
I would say 10:30. I mean, he's kind of an early riser.
Late night with Conan
O'Brien?
Well,
I mean, it's...
But when he holds the part...
Well, they tape it earlier. They just air it late night. Anyway, I imagine them sleeping, why they both could have been vulnerable. I just don't see how both fall victim to him. I take it he wasn't taken in with any injuries, nothing defensive at least, so... Two against one, I think they jump on him.
They're used to his outbursts or his drug-fueled moments of where his morality's straight out the window. That's a quote by Nick. When the 2015 movie was coming out, when you're in that state of mind,
what
your morality...
What the fuck is this guy doing, though? I've never heard of it. It's almost like he's saying, I just black out.
It's a convenient excuse at the time to say, well, I was acting outside of my character. But I don't think that's going to hold up in court now.
Yeah. Well, if he says please, maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he does play up the insanity defense a little bit because of his drug addiction, try to milk some sympathy out of it if he doesn't enter a plea of guilty like he probably should.
I agree. That's what he should do.
But you're not going to hire Alan Jackson out of all defense lawyers. Alan Jackson and enter in a guilty plea. You're going to fight with him. That's what he does. He's a fighter.
Okay. Like I said, there's a chance for one more subject. I'm going to hit stop.
Okay.
Everyone understands. Okay.
All right. So Atlanta ranks number one worldwide. That's Atlanta, Georgia, worldwide for OnlyFans spending.
I saw today they also ranked number one for Christmas, the Christmas holiday.
As far as what? Like economic spending or shopping or
hellish traffic? I thought it was Aura.
Oh, okay. Well, not only do they have the busiest airport in the world, they have the most people privately spending money on homemade sex videos and pictures and whatnot. Get this ratio. Per 10,000 residents in the metro area, $525,000 is given to OnlyFans, is spent on OnlyFans, basically. And correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't Atlanta have a population of like 4 million?
Good Lord.
That's, wow. Like, you could say OnlyFans has like a certain, like probably like 15% of their business is probably right in Atlanta, right there for the site.
Is that a product of people just having to have a vice of some sort? And they don't have access to a casino, and drugs are technically illegal?
I'd say the privacy aspect's a big prompt for it, because people can kind of like, you know, kind of be open with their kinks and stuff. And if they can't get their kink or their fetish anywhere else, especially from a real-life person that might even be within city limits, it's like, I guess there would be some sort of monetary value to that for someone. You know, it's like a, you know, a late night snack, so to speak. You know, it's an indulgence. Mm. It's a vice. It certainly is. I just can't get over 10,000 residents, over a half a million dollars.
You probably don't have like the second highest ranking city. You don't have a list. You just...
No. I imagine Staunton's in the top five, though, at least, just based on Hammy's usage alone. In fact, I don't think I think for number six, it's not actually a city. It's just Hamwater.
I guess that's interesting. I don't really know what to think about it.
It just blows my mind that such a conservative part of the nation, that I'd say as far as metro areas go, Atlanta is pretty, you know, prominent with their religious beliefs in comparison to pretty much everywhere in the north and in the west. But,
well, it's kind of a branch off, but like relationships are changing, right?
Yeah.
I've seen people say that if I was married, I wouldn't want to live on the same property as my, you know, spouse if they were within line of sight.
Yeah.
If the property was so big that I didn't see them, didn't know.
You know, another thought is instead of like people hooking up now like you used to, like in the business world, you always focused on your career. So like relationships, you know, we're more like flings or something you save for the weekends because you were just too busy and focused through the week to do anything else. So maybe OnlyFans is kind of like a diet of sex of sorts, where it's like, okay, I don't have to wine and dine this person. We can just get down to the nitty gritty and I can be done with it. Because you can't convince me that some of those residents aren't basically using it for prostitution. Like they call meetups. Yeah, if the chick does a meetup, she's a prostitute. Because you're not there to just hang out. A session. Yeah. What is she, a masseuse? Oh, where's her massage table? Your dick? Okay.
Oh, man. You'd rather have a person in the flesh who you're compatible to the point that it takes care of your need. That has to be better.
Well,
but that compatibility is hard to find, and the strings that are attached are just atrocious sometimes. So it's just like, gosh, just can't do it.
And who's to say that special someone isn't actually on OnlyFans, considering the money they obviously could make?
Well, if the OnlyFans creators, if they have a good client, they're going to kind of play into that vice, or they're going to
cater to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to make them feel special. They're going to make any high roller feel special, just like a casino would. Mm. You know? Hey, I made this video just for you. I'll stick all these things up just for you, just because I know that you're a little piggy bank. And I got the hammer.
Really popular creators, though, have a team of people that are actually sending the messages. I mean, sorry to bust anyone's bubble that didn't realize that.
Well, I mean, they get so popular and they're only one person. Do you honestly think they're doing it all alone? No, they got it's a business. It's pretty much My Vagina LLC. Robin's
Cub. They say, man, that boy go hard. Oh, wow. Come back, DJPowerWall.com. I'm the Chick Magnet. I'm the Peter Tim. I'll teach you how to be a player. All you got to do is listen up. What it do is PowerWall. I'm the Mac of the year. I'm the people's champ. The Chick Magnet is here. When you see me on the South League, cover your ears. I got 415s smell the rubber burning. Open up the curtain, hear about the money I'm earning. For certain, it's my street sermon. I'm fumigating the vermin. I done broke my ball and chain, and I done shook my burden. I wrap it up like a turban, so I'm clean as a whistle. My lips are frostbit, cause my teeth got icicles. My girl's a dime piece, but you barely pull nickels. So now you looking sour face like you've been eating some pickles. This one here is for my partners in the SAT. K on the way, I'm in the valley with my SAGs. When the trunk pop, partner, it's a bop fest. From 22s to 24s, I'm a work in progress. I'm covered in BBS in my mouth and chest. Looking dope, boy, fresh. I was taught by the best. I'm out that pimp squad, but all praise to God. I put the mic down.
Impressive after Robinson.
Say, man, that boy go hard. Urban City got the clothes. Lavola got the flows. Kylie sipping foes. Marky G got the dro. Lil' Ken got the hoes. So I'm taking my pick. Paparazzi following me trying to take my pick. I know I make you sick when you see me ball. You ain't never gonna see me foul as power.
I don't know what I would ever do without Tylenol. Tylenol really improved the quality of my life. I don't have any pain anymore. Tylenol is the best.